Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for taking the time once again on this beautiful Portland Sunday. I'm Jason Ophir, and this is another episode of Paranormal Horizons. We are live. This is not pre-recorded, and I'm joined, as always, with psychic medium Sherry. Sherry, how are you?
Pretty good, Jason. How are you?
Oh, I just haven't been feeling good lately, you know. My heart has just been so irritable lately, but I guess that's not entirely new. I just haven't been feeling not great.
You find out what's wrong with you?
No, it's been going on for a long time. It's just beating irregularly, and it's more of an annoyance than anything else. Had an EKG on Saturday, and it's just completely abnormal. Even stuff on the EKG that I've never seen on my EKGs. It's like, oh my God, come on. Why can't something?
So
why can't anything be normal?
So what do the doctors think?
Not much. I mean, you know, if you're not just if you're stable and you're not dying, nobody cares. But
that's
you know,
really,
it
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty much, yeah. But it's annoying. I don't know if any of the listeners out there have heart palpitations, but when I'm talking about like my heart palpitations, it can go for months and months and months straight, and then we're talking like every other beat, every third beat, every fourth beat, weird runs, racing heart. It just gets old. You never get used to it. I thought, you know, it's been going on to some degree for probably 15 years, and you never get used to it. It's just annoying as hell. I'm lucky that I'm used to it to the point where I can sleep. I know people that can't sleep because of it, but I can still fall asleep.
Well,
it's just it's annoying. I can't take it anymore. So I'm going to go back and see if I can see a cardiologist and see what's going on. I know some of my electrolytes are not great. When I was in there, I said, hey, can you check my phosphorus? Just kind of one of those obscure electrolytes I don't normally check for, but I know my phosphorus is low. And it was low. It was really low. So
wow.
I don't know if there's a connection to heart palpitations. I've never heard that correlation, but maybe I'll try and up the phosphorus and see if that helps.
Yeah. Well, have you thought about maybe, just the first thing I would see is probably diet. Sounds like you got a lot of stress going on. Yes? No?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I no more than the average person that has to work like a slave. You know?
You said the word slave.
That's what we are, slaves.
Oh my gosh.
The people at the top make all the money, enjoy all the luxury, while the little worker bees suffer for the scraps.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Oh, my goodness. It's nice to be back on air. It's been a while. It's probably, about 3 weeks now?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. Oh, I'm so sorry, guys. I've been on tour and things happen. And so, you know, as soon as I'm able to, I was on tour yesterday and able to come back today. So I'm really glad that things worked out the way they did. So, but yeah, life is good, and it's kind of rough at times, and we go through some rough patches, but everything's all temporary. And, you know, if we can get through them and and just move. Everything's just temporary, and, you know, hopefully things will work out for the better.
I do have a couple interesting things to talk about. I think we're just kind of free-for-alling. Is that right, Sherry?
Right. If anybody wants to call in, they're welcome to call in. welcome to call in live on air on Paranormal Horizons Radio. They can call in at 1-215-383-3999. Again, they can call in at 1-215-383-3999.
Yes.
We welcome any callers. Or, yes. Hey. So anyway, go ahead, Jason. We'll go from there.
So about a guest that's been on, I don't know, many times that we haven't had on recently, at least in the last few years, Edwin Becker. Great guy, great voice. I've made some, like, audio bites with him, which I can play, but kind of some comedy audio bites he did. Anyway, he wrote a book that became very successful several years ago called A True Haunting. And he sent me a copy. I read it. It was amazing. And he's written several other books. But the interesting thing about Mr. Becker is Hollywood has come calling, or came calling, because they are turning – they are making a movie based on the book A True Haunting. And I believe it's in post-production now, either pre-production or post-production. So there is a major motion picture regarding his book A True Haunting. And the big selling point with the book was that he had an exorcism done on his house in the 70s, so it's considered to be the first televised exorcism of a house. And so I believe that movie comes out next year, so I'll be very excited to see that.
Wow. He was at the, I'm not sure, he usually is at the Oregon Ghost Conference. Is that correct?
I don't think so. I believe he lives on the East Coast or somewhere. He doesn't live anywhere near here. He's not a local.
Oh, okay. Well, did he come to the Oregon Ghost Conference, or has he been? Because it sounds familiar.
I don't believe so, but I don't know. I kind of doubt it, but it's possible. I mean, I really don't know. So if you've got 40 seconds, Sherry, let me just play a promo we did many years ago for his book, A True Haunting. Are you down for that?
I'm down for, yes. Go for it.
All right. Let's give it a listen. I haven't listened to this in a very long time.
I'm author Edwin F. Becker. In 1971, there was a Chicago haunting so horrific that it was the first ever paranormal event televised by NBC. And a glimpse of a true exorcism. My book, True Haunting, tells a story. It is one that nearly destroyed my life and did destroy the lives of others. True Haunting is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or you can visit me at edwinbecker.com.
So there you have it, the movie be out next year sometime. So I'm going to have to go see that one in the theater.
Exactly. Wow. That's going to be interesting. Well, it's like The Conjuring, you know, with Andrea Ferrone. And so she's making her own movie on her own take of her personal experience in the Ferrone family in The Conjuring. Now that should be out maybe next year too.
Awesome. Well, these are great people, so I'm glad to see that they, you know, good things are happening. And if any movie producers out there or Hollywood want to contact me regarding my UFO experiences and want to do a major motion picture based on my life, I'm open to negotiations.
That's true. That'd be awesome.
But I have to have a role in the movie.
That'd be way cool.
I've got a little bit of. Acting experience. I've been in commercials. I've been in a movie or two. So, you know, I don't have an IMDb page, but, you know, it's kind of been my dream. So, yes, please contact me.
So we're going to talk about we're going to talk about cryptozoology, right? Remember? I think we're going to make a mention of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting subject that I'm highly skeptical of.
So explain to our listeners what cryptozoology is, Jason.
Well, I don't have,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an exact definition. In fact, I'm typing it in right now. But from what my understanding of it is, it's a pseudoscience that basically searches for or studies unknown extinct animals or legendary animals or, you know, folklore animals such as Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, Yeti, Chupacabra, the Jersey Devil, all those kind of things. There's people that are super into that, and they research it, and they go out and try and find evidence that these things exist. And so that is probably my best interpretation of cryptozoology. If you want to know the actual technical definition, it is a search for the and study of animals whose existence or survival is disputed or unsubstantiated, such as the Loch Ness Monster and Yeti. Basically creatures that can't objectively be proven to exist.
Oh, yeah.
Which I find...
Go ahead.
I've always been skeptical of, you know me, Bigfoot. I mean, we've talked to, I don't even know how many people, experts on the subject, and I'm still to this day not convinced. I'm also not convinced of these, was it the what's the ones the on the Indian reservations? Skinwalkers.
Oh, skinwalkers, yes.
Yeah, the shape-shifting evil things. And yeah, I'm sorry. You know, it's one of those things, I have to see it to believe it.
I believe that they do exist, but it's just a matter of being there at the right time. In the right place. I don't know why legend has had it length, you know, like that, but I think that they do exist.
And they may, but you're going to have to, it's going to take more than a YouTube video or a picture to convince me. I got to be out there. I got to exit. And, you know, a lot of people say the same thing about UFOs. A lot of people haven't seen UFOs. A lot of people listen to my stories and think I'm crazy. So, you know, it's normal to question things when you don't experience them themselves. And I could be wrong. Maybe Bigfoot is out there. I can tell you I've spent an enormous amount of time back before I got fat and lazy, where I just sit at home and play video games. I actually was an outdoors person and would spend copious amounts of time in the middle of nowhere and never in the Northwest. And never did I ever see or anything even remotely unusual, UFO or otherwise. Bigfoot's nothing. Nothing strange ever happened.
Wow. Huh. So I've seen a UFO. I seen that last year. It was interesting. Really, really interesting. Yeah, the UFO was, I think I said this on radio. My girlfriend and I were at Walmart at 1 o'clock in the morning, and we were looking at, and something was blinking, and it was not a star. It was too close to be a star. And you see one thing, it was shooting off, and it was interesting, very, very interesting. And it was one wasn't moving. It was just quite different. We were kind of checking it out. It was very different.
I haven't actually even seen too much of that. You know, I haven't seen whole lot of strange flying things in the sky, at least not in many years. When I was in Northern California, I'd see a ton of stuff, but up here in Oregon, I haven't seen a whole lot. I've seen a few things, but nothing to where I could say that, you know, this is definitely some sort of flying saucer. Never seen anything in daylight, but just because I don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, they. I believe that they do exist. We've had all kinds of guests that come on, Lon, and what's the other guy? I forgot his name. But we've had some people that are on, and they really have, they believe that they do exist. Lon Strickland.
Yeah, we're going to have to, maybe I need to go on a Bigfoot expedition and see it for myself. You know, we're up here in the Northwest, so apparently we got big feet up here. Is that what you say, big feet? It's like plural? Is it a Bigfoot? Big feet?
Big
I got big feet.
Big feet. Big feet. Oh, that's funny. That's
but
funny.
There's also, you know, there's all sorts of, I mean, weird ones out there. Trying to think of any that I've watched recently. You know, of course, the Loch Ness Monster, but there's another lake, and I can't remember where it is. It seems like any big major lake has some history or some sightings of some ancient prehistoric sea creature, like Loch Ness. I wish I could remember what I was watching. It was fairly recently, but it was another big lake, and some pictures were taken, a lot of people's testimonial, this giant serpent-like creature. Yeah, a lot of crazy ones. I mean, back in the old days, people actually believed that fairies existed. That's another one I don't believe.
Oh, fairies? They're like fairies? That's quite interesting, because if you go online, there has been pictures, but, you know, anything that's online, you don't even know whether to believe them or not.
Yeah, because they're so much fakery out there, especially with the way technology is today. It's too easy to fake things. Photoshop, various movie making programs, After Effects. You know, you can pretty much just add anything you want and fake it.
Yeah.
But, you know, faking's been around forever. You look back 100 plus years ago, there were the, quote me, I could be wrong, I'm trying to pull this out of my brain, but I think it was called the Cottingham Fairies, which were these little girls, I think in England, probably Cottingham, England, if that's the place, I have no idea. They said that they were hanging out with fairies, and they took pictures, and sure enough, they're hanging out with fairies, and it just created this huge, big thing, and I don't know when it was, probably early 1900s, late 1800s, and they eventually admitted it was all fake. They were like paper cutouts and stuff like that. You think people would be able to recognize that they're fake, but back then people's brains kind of operated on a different level, but fakery has been around forever, so you can't really trust anything nowadays, especially the media, by
yeah,
the way.
Well, with the computer graphic imaging, they can do anything. I mean, can imagine they do things with your just your face, and they can, you know, redo everything with your body that's not even yours and make it look real.
Yeah, and there are some major motion pictures, you know, that are done in front of a green screen. That when you watch the movie, it's like you can't tell the difference. You just think it's being shot in a normal city. But it's just, you know, these companies out there like Industrial Light and Magic do their job very well. These create realistic scenes. And so, yeah, fakery is a virus, and it's everywhere.
Okay, Jason, so I'm just looking at, did you know that the International Cryptozoology Museum is located in Portland, Oregon?
I did not.
Yes, it is on number 4 Thompson Point Road. It's in Portland, Oregon. No, Portland, Maine. Sorry, not in Portland, Oregon. Portland, Maine.
Yeah, that's other side of the country.
That's going to be interesting. Wow. Portland, Maine. Yeah, International Cryptozoology Museum. And it shows the different images of what's inside of the museum.
Hmm.
Yeah, things that are kind of weird. They're a little bit quirky. They're different. Different kinds of creatures.
Have you ever seen anything that you couldn't identify? I don't think I have. I mean, I've seen insects that I had to Google, but I've never really, excuse me, I think I have the Rona. I've never encountered anything that I can't identify.
No, I haven't. I heard that was a slip. I think I had the Rona.
My hero. Well, I'm on high alert. It seems like I actually know somebody that got the Rona recently, and fortunately, I have not been exposed to them. But now I went to the ER the other day, so now I'm like kind of paranoid that I might have picked up the Rona somewhere.
Oh, don't do that. No, don't want to manifest that kind of stuff in your mind.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, your mind can play really some tricks on you.
Oh, especially in my mind, it's completely weak. This is why I can't watch scary movies late at night. You know, I can't. I just need a huge prescription of Xanax to just keep me sedated all the time because my mind's going 1,000 miles an hour.
Well, how's the simple joys of your life with the kitty cats? How are they doing?
Oh, they're doing fantastic. Yeah, they're cute and
good
and lovable. Definitely stress reducers.
They're not eliminators. Go ahead.
I just don't let them sleep with me in the room because I don't want them to suck my soul out while I'm sleeping.
They won't do that. Actually, they're protective.
Oh, I hope so. Actually, they are. You know, our cats are funny. At least one in particular. If like somebody's outside the house, they growl like a dog. It's the weirdest thing. But it's kind of adorable at
really?
The same time. Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
But huh. Yeah, so I know we're kind of bouncing around a lot as usual. I also wanted to mention, not on a cryptozoology subject, is I rented a movie yesterday. It was on alien abductions, which I'm very interested in. I'm trying to remember what it was. I want to say Alien Abduction and Stories or something like that. I had to pay for it. It was like $5, but I was curious enough to look into that, and it's very interesting because it gives you a series of about 8 or 9 people who talk about what their abduction experience was like, and you would think that they'd all be like the same, but they're different, and it's they're seeing different types of entities. You know, one guy sees a being of light, and sometimes there's physical evidence left behind. But there was one creepy one, and it actually kind of creeped me out. There was this kid, and he's in his bedroom, and he wakes up, and there is a man standing in his room, dressed up like almost kind of like a clown, but like an ancient popcorn peddler, you know, with the stripes shirts. I don't know how to describe it. And this man is in there dressed all weird like that with this round hat, you know, red stripes and da-da-da, carnival worker maybe is a better description. And there's the man standing by a bike, and on the front of the bike there's 2 big tubs of popcorn. And the man turns his head towards the kid, and his eyes are glowing blue. So I was watching this, and they animate it, you know. They use the CGI to recreate what this kid saw. It's just the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. It's like the pseudo popcorn peddling clown with glowing blue eyes. I couldn't imagine anything creepier than that. And what it went on to explain, another one saw, another kid had an experience. This one was actually when he was awake. He saw, what was it? It was like Astro Boy or something, which was like this metallic robot from like the 50s, 60s, something like that. Anyways, but the whole point of it was he was trying to explain what's called screen memories, where when you see something and your brain can't really figure out what you're looking at, it actually creates, I guess, like a hallucination or memory of the thing. So the kid wasn't looking at Astro Boy or the popcorn, scary popcorn man. It was actually an alien, but his brain couldn't process that. So it creates an image that he can understand. So apparently maybe he likes popcorn and that's what he's seeing, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah,
your brain
makes sense.
Kind of,
totally
your brain
makes
fills
sense.
In the gaps. Your brain changes what you see visually because it just can't process it, particularly with children. You know, their brains are so young and not as experienced as an adult's brain. So they come up with stuff like that. Incidentally, to carry that story a little bit further, so the boy who saw the popcorn peddler with the blue eyes, he went and had hypnosis. And the result of the hypnosis was peeling away the popcorn man thing into what was actually there. And what was actually there, according to them, was equally as scary. It was a humanoid figure, but it had like an ant-type head with these antennas. And they ended up teleporting him to some cave. And he was sitting in front of these screens that were flashing images and stuff like that. And anyways, but yeah. So I just thought that was interesting. And it's worth a rent. It was on Amazon Prime.
Wow. So the only thing I don't like about Amazon Prime, I was talking to my son the other day, and we were talking about Amazon Prime. A lot of the places you have to rent the movies. You would think that you're paying already, you know, on Prime, you don't have to pay for it. But a lot of the movies and things you have to rent, you have to pay for it.
I've had Prime for years, and yes, you can rent movies, new release movies. And stuff like
mm-hmm.
that, but the vast majority of it's free. I mean, you just...
Oh, really? Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
If you scroll down, you'll see, like, rent, buy movies, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And everything else is free. Everything else is, like, included with Prime.
Oh, okay.
TV,
I thought it
movies.
So, Jason, would you get a chance? I don't know if you can. If you can go on your – I just texted you three pictures of these creatures, and maybe you can explain to our listeners what they look like. But I actually sent them to you as you were talking about your story. So go ahead and check it out, and we can – yeah, back – we're all over the place tonight. Sorry, folks, but, you know, this thing about cryptozoology has kind of got my attention. How something cannot really be explained, let alone, is it real? I don't know. But these pictures that I just sent to Jason, they are oddthingsoddthingsoddthingsoddthingsivesseen.com. And they're in a museum. These creatures are in a museum. And I just sent three pictures just now to Jason. And
I see them.
See what he thinks.
The first one is one I've never seen before. I know what the other two are, but the first one is it looks like the head of like a pterodactyl on a humanoid body with a humanoid body-ish with the tails. I don't know. It's weird. I've never seen that one. But the second one...
Do you think that's
one,
real? Let me ask
not.
You, is it real? I
no.
think it's real.
No, I don't think it's
no?
real.
No? No. Jason, okay.
The second one I've seen before, this was, I believe, was constructed with, it's either the one that was constructed by Ripley, believe it or not. They took the head of a monkey and they attached it to like a fish. That's a well-known one. If it's not the one that was done by Ripley, then it's somebody else copying his work or something like that. So that one I know is not fake. But the third one is the best because I know exactly what that is. Let me look at the third one. Do you not know what this third one is?
Is it a gargoyle?
I know exactly what it is. You're going to laugh when I tell you what it is.
Okay. So you can explain to the listeners what it looks like.
So this looks like a gremlin-like creature, two legs, two arms, huge ears, yellow eyes. And what it actually is a gremlin from the movie Gremlins. That is a model from the Gremlin movie. it is a movie prop to the T. That somebody bought the doll and then set it up there.
Wow.
If you Google Gremlin, like Google Gremlin movie, and you look at it, you'll see what I'm talking about. Not the cute,
okay.
fuzzy one, which is what was the fuzzy? It's been so long. I can't remember the name of the fuzzy cute gremlin before he turns into the nasty one. But anyway, I know they called it a Mogwai, but I don't remember his name.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, two of those I know are not fake, and the first one I suspect is fake.
So you just don't know.
There's
they
been
really
a lot
don't
going
anymore.
Around regards to cryptozoology on YouTube. There was one recently I saw where a mermaid, a merman or merboy, washed up on
yep.
the shore. It was, I don't know, probably some South American country, and it was still alive and moving. And some people claim that they saw a fishing line attached to it, moving its arms and stuff. And yeah, it's just so hard to know unless you're there. There's no way to really know for sure.
Yeah, unless you're there.
You
That's a good point.
I mean, you just have to be skeptical with everything nowadays.
Yeah, that's so true. You have to be. Yeah,
you
don't know really what's... Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello?
Are you there,
hey.
Sherry?
I'm here.
Houston, we have a problem.
I'm here. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, shut us off.
Hold on, yep, hold on.
Interesting. I don't know if Sherry's still here.
Can you hear me, Jason? Can you hear me?
Hey, Sherry, if you can hear me, hang up and call back, because I can't hear you.
Okay.
Maybe it's my volume. Hold on. Oh, it was my volume. Oh, that's embarrassing. See, this is what happens when you have the Rona. My volume automatically went down. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, are you there?
All right, that was me. You know, for some reason, I don't know if it's the NSA or the CIA, my volume automatically went to mute, and I didn't realize it. So there was nothing wrong on your end. It's just me. It's just the government not wanting us to talk about cryptozoology, probably because cryptozoology is a result of genetic experiments by the government or chemical weapon testing. But we showed them. We got it fixed.
Well, we don't want to have a problem with the government. Those are just different things that are just kind of bringing awareness of different creatures that could or may not exist. But it's just something to, out of the ordinary to think about and talk about.
Yes, it's definitely interesting. It's entertaining. There's a lot of great movies that use mythical creatures that are pretty awesome. You know, if creatures in the cryptozoology, if that was like a thing, you know what I want? I want like a griffin or hippogriff.
And
that
what is
awesome.
A griffin? What is a griffin?
It's like, you know, kind of like a horse with wings kind of thing with like a beak of like a head of a bird. I don't know, something like that.
Oh, okay.
A minotaur would be cool too. You know, the body of a horse and the upper body of a man or woman. That would be cool too.
Oh my goodness, yes, definitely. Yeah, there's so much out there. A lot of folklore, a lot of superstitions, so you don't know until, you know, like you said, if you're really witnessing those kind of things. Mothman, that's another one. Dan Gordon talked about the Mothman.
Aliens, that's what they are. They're aliens.
Yeah, they come around once in a while under a bridge. Catastrophic things that are happening, and they're just kind of like a warning, a foretold warning in case something's going to be coming through. So, yeah, it's a man with wings. Basically, it's a man with wings, and they call them, they're very elusive.
I don't know, up here, we're in the Northwest, we're in Oregon, I know Bigfoot's a thing, but are there any other weird cryptozoological animals that are reported in the Northwest? Because all I ever hear is about Bigfoot.
That's the only thing I can hear. That's true. Yeah, that's the only thing I heard of is Bigfoot. I'm sure there may be other couple other creatures, you know, maybe besides UFOs, of course, but I have no idea. That's going to be interesting. Yes, we got to have Stan Gordon come back. He talked about Mothman, and he's also talked about the Sandman. That's, yeah, So pretty interesting stuff. But anyway, hey, Jason, what do you think about talking about those kind of things, hauntings and things like that? What are you thinking about as far as a lot of the evidence is more pareidolia? So pareidolia, we'll explain to people what that is.
Well, I'm not an expert on it, but basically from what my understanding is, I guess a good example would be looking at the clouds. You're looking at the clouds and there's one that looks like a dog or something. It's basically your brain's trying to pick out images or patterns that out of random stuff. For example, the cloud thing where, you know, a cloud looks like a dog, or like, I'm trying to think of a better example. You know, say if you took a picture of a bunch of leaves on the ground and you see like a fairy or something, but it's your brain just picking it out there. It doesn't exist. It's just your brain's processing the various variations in the images, trying to see stuff. Kind of, I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's common.
Yeah.
I mean, it's why you have somebody. You take a picture of something. And somebody, you know, the person that takes a picture is like, oh, do you see that ghost right there? And then another person looks at the picture and they can't see it. It's just, it's the way our brains work. It's the way we take in information visually. And sometimes we see patterns that really aren't there, or creatures that really aren't there. And our brains are very influential and can be tricked and stuff like that. It's the same thing with EVPs. When you're listening to an EVP, which I've done many, many times, and I hear something like, say, it says my name or something like that, and then somebody else listens to the same EVP, and they don't hear what I'm hearing. So our brains are processing the information differently. To me, it says this, clear as day, but the next person that listens to it doesn't hear that at all. They hear something else or nothing. Just where our brains process information differently. We experience our world a little differently. And that's difficult, especially when you're trying to find evidence of the paranormal, is a lot of times what you're seeing has an explainable cause, or it's just our mind doing the pareidolia thing where it's just trying to see something that isn't there or create something that isn't there.
Clouds. I mean, a good example. Somebody will look at the clouds and say, "Oh my gosh, I'm seeing like a heart." And another person say, "I don't see a heart. What are you looking at?" And some people, like you said, are looking at different things in a different perspective.
Yeah, and it makes it difficult when you're reviewing evidence. Because you can't get a consensus on what's being seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and like you said, unless you're there, you don't know if they exist. Quite interesting. Wow.
But there's a lot of things like that where our brain just likes to play tricks on us. A lot of people, I've never experienced sleep paralysis. But a lot of, you know, abductees or people that have paranormal experiences get sleep paralysis. And basically what that is it's just like a weird – so you're dreaming, you're sleeping, you wake up, but you can't move your body. But you're seeing, like, whatever it is you're seeing, aliens or demons in your room, and you're paralyzed, and it's like sucking your soul out through your nostrils. You're basically just, when you transition back into the real world, your body's paralyzed because it's a protection measure in the brain so that people don't act out their dreams. If people acted out their dreams, then it would be mayhem. People would get hurt and stuff. So your brain shuts your body down generally. And when you have sleep paralysis, there's a weird wiring issue there. And your body stays paralyzed, but yet you're having these visual hallucinations. And so it can seem like a real, totally real experience. I have had, there's hypnagogic hallucinations, which are those hallucinations right before you fall asleep and right after you right after you wake up. And I've had those a few times, and it's as real as anything. I remember one time, I know I mentioned this, but not in years, I had one of those. I was working the front desk of a hotel, and I was sleeping in the back room and on the floor like a total boss. And I woke up, and the chair across the room was sliding back and forth. I mean, I could hear it. It was like 15 feet away from me, and it freaked, and I'm watching it. And so I hightailed it out of that back room, and I was freaked out the rest of the night. Of course, I wasn't aware of, you know, these waking hallucinations. And it happened another time, same kind of deal, woke up and saw a pen moving by itself. And it's just one of those weird things where your brain just gets misfires and you just hallucinate. So that's why if I was talking to somebody regarding to experiences that they have at night, I take it with a grain of salt any evidence right before you fall asleep and right after you wake up, just because you can have those altered perceptions due to hypnagogic hallucinations and or sleep paralysis. It's
wow.
The experiences that I'm really interested in are the ones when you're not trying to sleep or right after you wake up, the ones where you're like out walking your dog and something happens. Those are the ones that personally, for me as an investigator, I take a little bit more seriously. Not to say this stuff doesn't happen right before you fall asleep or wake up, but you just have to keep in mind that a lot of that stuff has organic explanations, physiologic explanations.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah, I've had sleep paralysis myself. I have definitely.
I've never had that.
You haven't? Really? Yeah,
I've had hallucinations, but I've never had, like, I can't move my... Now, I've woken up and my arm's completely paralyzed because I've been sleeping on it, and then I start freaking out, and I have to use one arm to lift my other arm. That's happened a lot, but not like full-body paralysis where, you know...
Yeah, I've had that full-body paralysis, and that's not even funny. It was like, I remember vividly waking up, and it's like in a half-conscious state. You're half-conscious state, but also in a dream state, and it was weird. It's like this big, big monster, some monster thing, and it's just hovering over, and you feel like you want to get a, you know, yell. You can't even yell, and nothing comes out of your mouth. You're trying to yell as much as you can, and your body can't move or anything. You're just trying to get out of it because you know that you don't want the life sucked out of you. This thing that's hovering over you and trying to take over you or something. It was weird. It was pretty strange. I can't explain. I don't know if anybody has experienced it, but it was not a good feeling.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that. There's a lot of weird things. I remember a lot of things that trigger this sort of thing is like fatigue and stuff like that, or if you've changed your sleep schedule.
Really?
You start work. Long car rides will trigger weird stuff where you're just exhausted from sitting in a car. If your sleep schedules change, say you start work graveyard and you're sleeping during the day, that's a big one. I had some trippy stuff when I was working graveyard happen. I would be sleeping on the couch. It's just the weirdest thing. It's hard to describe. I was sleeping on the couch, but I'm awake. But I'm dreaming at the same time. So basically I can move my body, but I'm dreaming. It was just the weirdest thing. And that's just because, you know, you start altering with what your normal circadian rhythm is or whatever, and some trippy shit can happen. You don't even have to take drugs for that stuff to happen. If you just start messing with your sleep schedule, oh, yeah, party time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can imagine. Definitely. Wow. So what's going on in the world? I haven't been keeping up. I don't even, you know, I don't listen to the news or anything. My source of news, when I get a chance to read it, if anything, is Telegram. So what do you think about this baby food shortage, the stockpiling of baby food? Stockpiles of baby food formula shipped to Ukraine as Americans experiences baby formula shortages. So American mothers struggled to find baby food formula on the shelves in the U.S. as March reports saying the stockpiles of baby food formula all went to Ukraine. WTVA reported that the Operation Ukraine shipped boxes of baby food overseas. Wow. That's crazy. Wow. Hmm.
Yeah, there's people that, you know, anytime there's a shortage or anything, you have people that are trying to capitalize on it, and there are people like that just want to feed their baby, and they're being charged like $500 for like one can. It's so ridiculous. But I'll tell you, Sherry, now is the time to be prepared. If you have extra money, stock up on food, whatever it is you need to get by, because what's happening in the east there with Ukraine is just getting worse, with Norway going to join NATO. It wouldn't surprise me if we have some major shortages. And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if like war broke out, nuclear war, that at all. Now's
wow.
the time to start thinking about being prepared.
And you're talking about, they say we're just beginning, and I don't know, I don't want to say the sources, you have to look, but they say we're starting World War III.
Yeah, and I believe that's actually potentially true. If you look at it from the Russian perspective, you know, obviously I don't agree with invading a country or anything. But the fact that their armies are being decimated by hardware that's being supplied by NATO countries and the United States, if I was Russia, I would be wickedly pissed off. I mean, that's like a war by proxy, you know. Without the help of NATO, they probably easily could have taken Ukraine, but they're being killed with American and NATO weapons, which is just escalating things. And then you add the Sweden and Norway and all them going to join NATO and... Yeah, this thing can escalate. So either nothing's going to happen and Russia's just going to suck it up, or things are going to get out of hand and this thing's going to blow up potentially to a to where Russia's using tactical nukes in Ukraine. And at that point, it wouldn't surprise me if we're talking about global thermonuclear war. And even if that doesn't happen and it just stays a conventional regional conflict, expect shortages. So, you know, it's better to have and have not. So if get food, get whatever it is that you're going to need to survive, because I tell you, if we're not getting enough food or whatever, there'll be a mad rush to the stores, and it's better to just have that stuff and not need it. Then panic buying. And when people get hungry,
yeah,
they get crazy.
Yeah, well, people who don't have any money, they get crazy too.
Yep. So I don't like the way things are going over there. I just, the whole fact that they even invaded that place is ridiculous.
I love talking about this stuff more so than cryptozoology. So anyway, I would like to talk about, what do you think about these plants that are being burned? You know, all these different food plants.
Food plants?
Yes, like Tyson, all these food places are being burned.
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't hear about that. In the United States?
Yes, there are just like one after another. You wonder what's going on. Is this just really, they're either burned? They're either burned by fire or something's going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of that's what's causing the real shortage of food, is that these plants are so-called being burned down, whether it's intentionally or accidentally. And you wonder why. It's like one a day. You go under these food plants, you'll see a long list of these ones that all over the United States that are literally being burned down.
Yep. Okay, I'm looking into this right as we speak. This wasn't
food
even on
being
my...
Burned. You wonder why the food prices are going to be high, because there's going to be a national shortage of food because, you know, these manufacturing plants are being burned down. Where are you going to get your food? I mean, that's a problem. And so what do you do? But the best thing is to grow your own food, guys. get yourself, you know, seeds or whatever you can get a hold of organically, and grow your own food. That's what I can suggest.
Yeah, so they're saying that. They're saying that there were no intentional. Intentional acts of fire. People are basically saying that these plants are being burned down to create a food shortage, and there's no evidence of that.
Of course.
There are 36,000 food processing plants in the United States. So, I mean, yeah, there's going to be fires.
One a day? One every day?
I mean, that seems a little high to me, but but who knows?
Wow. Dr. Betsy. Okay, so I'm going to switch this out really quickly. Okay, Dr. Betsy, she was talking about the vaccines. I'm going to go into this really quick. So, yeah, there's all the different things. They're talking about the vaccines, food shortages. Those are the things that we need to really be on alert at, you know, just kind of do what you can to be healthy.
Be healthy and be prepared.
Yeah, be healthy and be prepared. Yeah, like you said, stock up on food. It's what you really can do. The food shortage is not a good thing. It's not. Oh boy. Oh geez.
It's just going to get worse. I feel like I hate to be one of these people, but I feel like we are truly approaching the end times. Not necessarily saying humanity is going to die off, but I feel like we're approaching a shift, and something's going to happen, whether it be nuclear war, a major disaster, worldwide disaster, but I just feel like something's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. There's my prediction.
So?
Yeah, you know, particularly in the United States, we've lived respectively very good lives and lives of abundance and stuff like that. And even if it's just a regional catastrophe here in the United States or a global one, something's going to happen. I kind of feel like it's global, and I kind of feel like it wouldn't surprise me if there's an all-out nuclear war, but that, you know, we came close several times during the Cuban Missile Crisis. There were several times, like, it was really close where accidents happened that almost triggered nuclear war and stuff like that. So, you know, all it takes is just the wrong person interpreting the wrong thing, you know, somebody launching a satellite and the other side thinking it's a nuke. And then the next thing you know, they do a full release of all their, I mean, anything can happen.
Absolutely. Anything. Wow. Yeah. So, all you can do is just try and, you know, be as healthy as possible. Gather your immune system, whatever means you can, to keep your immune system up, folks. Stay away from large crowds. As older I'm getting, I don't like to be around a lot of people. So imagine me being the social butterfly I am. But I'm being a little bit more aware and trying to be, you know, not paranoid, but just to take precautions.
And that's all you can do is be prepared and be prepared as possible. You know, it doesn't
exactly.
take much to every time you go grocery shop and buy a 2-pound bag of rice and just store it somewhere, or a can of chili, or, you know, and if you do that, before long, you're going to have quite a bit of food to rely on. And that's what I've done. I have enough food for two people to probably, if rationed, maybe probably a couple months maybe, two people.
Wow.
Got to be prepared. Yeah, and then what you do is when you get close to those, you know, these – You can eat food beyond the expiration date. You know, it doesn't mean the food's going to go bad. But what I do is I go through and I find if I'm getting close to the expiration date, I just eat it and cycle it out and then just replace it with new stuff. So you're not wasting it.
Well, when you get sick, you know, try and, yeah. Yeah, Dr. Jane Ruby, she's awesome. just been out there. She really, check her out. She's just, she's amazing. Very strong, very, she knows her stuff. Dr. Jane Ruby, she's a, what do you call it, a nurse practitioner. And she's been around the big wigs that have been, you know, with Dr., what is it, Merkula, you know, all these, Christine Worthrop, all these different people. And she does a lot of Stu Peters. She hangs out with the big wigs with as far as journalism and seeking the truth. And I don't know, you probably haven't heard about him. I heard the name. It's a legendary graffiti art hip-hop icon. He's DJK Slate. He's been around for a long, long time. He just died of COVID. He succumbed to medical complications through a lengthy battle with COVID. And what Jane Ruby says, it says, it says put on a ventilator to help assist with his breathing. Ventilators are another death protocol besides remdesivir. The only battle this man has was the hospital death protocol and the nurses and doctors that used to execute him. Boy, those are very strong words, aren't they? Very, very strong words.
Yeah, you don't want to be put on a ventilator. It's pretty harsh.
What's that, Jason? You work in the hospital?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not part of that, but any of this ventilators, intubation, ECMO treatments, I mean, I'm sure it saves lives, but you're in a pretty bad state if you need to be intubated or have ECMO, so.
Wow. Well, anyway, we're getting there close, and it's been a while since we've been on air. Sorry, you guys. We're just kind of all over the place. Just a little bit of here and there and everything else, but no, it's good to be back. I got to get the hang of it now.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can wrap it up there, Sherry. It's good. Good to be back, and I guess
I'll be back next week. I'm not going anywhere. If you want to go on, we can go on to next week and have something to talk about if you wish.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, right on. Excellent. So, yeah, we could talk about anything, health, news, anything just that could affect us as human beings and how to make this world a better place. But the main thing, guys, is, just like I said many, many times over and over, keep your immune system up. Try and eat as clean. Moderation is the key. And anyway, keep healthy, keep moving, and we'll see you. Have a good attitude. Love each other and have a good attitude.
That's all you can do. So we'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast time, unless you have anything else, Sherry, I'll bid you adieu.
No, I don't. Hey, it's nice to be back on air. It's been a month, I think, and yeah, we'll get the hang of it again, but yeah, I love it. It's good to keep on keeping our show going, and even if it affected one person and help them in one shape or another, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, it's all to good. It's all good. Anyway, we're going to get going, Jason. It's time to eat.
Yes, it is. All right. Good night, everyone. Have a safe and fantastic week. See you next week.
Hey, take care, everybody. Be safe and be well. Hey, love you guys. Thank you for supporting Paranormal Horizons Radio. Take care. Peace.
Good night, everyone.